Hey, this is Pearls and Swine. Today, it is one day after Mother's Day. And so hopefully all of you listeners out there, you called your mama and wish them a happy Mother's Day. Today, we're going to be talking about Mother's Day, this awesome holiday that celebrate these wonderful women in our lives. And so we decided, Travis and I decided, we probably shouldn't be the ones talking about Mother's Day. And so we invited some pros in. We have our wives actually with us. To my right is Jennifer, and to her right is Brenna. That is Travis's wife. They're going to be talking just a little bit about motherhood, the good, the bad, and the ugly of motherhood. And so we want to welcome you guys to...
Yay.
Thank you.
So you guys have been doing this... Brenna, how long have you been a mother?
Almost 13 years.
13 years. And how many children do you have?
4 kids. Youngest is 3.
Okay.
5, 10, and almost 13.
All right.
I had to think.
And Jennifer, how about you?
You don't know.
I do know, but...
It's for the people.
It's for the people.
The twins are 11, and then we have a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old.
All of them are boys?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, so you're the expert on the boy crowd. So tell us a little bit about what is like, you know, it was really probably exciting that moment that you got pregnant and you're thinking, man, this is going to be a wonderful thing. I have wonderful husbands and this is just a fantastic thing. And so, but what is the biggest surprise, maybe the biggest difficulty that you found in motherhood?
Well, I will say really just for the season, the biggest surprise has been the emotion of it. Kids' emotions, juggling kids' emotions. I think I thought that would happen when they were teenagers, not when they were elementary age kids, but that's probably the biggest thing.
For me has been the sheer physical exhaustion that I didn't realize how hard that would be on my body. You'd try to walk through each day with grace and patience and loving kindness to our kids, and we want to exemplify that to them. But when we're exhausted, I think we may be willing, but our body is weak and it's much harder. And we just realize that we can't get through each day without God. It's very hard sometimes.
So in the scriptures, children are looked at as a blessing. They're a heritage from the Lord, a reward from Him. And motherhood is also viewed as a blessing, one that is God's prerogative to grant and one that brings with it a high responsibility. And also, it's intended to bring some happiness. So what's the greatest part of being a mom?
I really have liked, as they've gotten older, the kids. You know, you raise kids to be a part of your family, and so they, by default, kind of like what you like and end up, I don't know, enjoying the same things we enjoy. You know, I think about our kids all love baseball. Well, that's because you play baseball with them in the yard. Or, you know, recently we took a quick trip to Appleton. And when we told the kids we were going, the first thing they said was, are the museums open? Because that's something we enjoy and we've done that with them. So I think just in, you know, enjoying the things they enjoy and doing it as a family has been really fun.
It made me think of last night as I was tucking my 3-year-old into bed and singing a song. And when I finished and he looks up at me and he's like, I love when you sing that song, mommy. And I'm just like, oh, and he reaches his arms up around my neck and says, I love you. Like, those are the moments that I'm like, okay, it's all good. It's all good. So of course those moments we love. And I agree with the fun when we all can like do things, our hobbies, when we're all together, when we're laughing. I find so much joy in watching my kids play together and just genuinely enjoying each other, playing well together. Like, just watching that alone is like, oh, I love it.
So one of the great responsibilities in motherhood, and it's also in fatherhood also, but is to really pass down your faith to your kids. And I know that it comes in different stages, different times, different places, just by their ages. But where have you found success? Where have you found maybe it's a little bit difficult sometimes to speak the truth of the Word of God into their lives? It's a great question, isn't it?
Do you mean sort of what it looks like?
Yeah. What are some of the family practices? What are some of the things that you've instituted in to help them to understand who Jesus is in their life and who God is? And outside of just really bringing them to church and those types of things, what are the family kind of rhythms that are just really a part of what you've kind of helped them to see, and how have you tried to train them up in the ways of God?
Well, let me say one thing. Parenting definitely requires humility, because we are human too, and we mess up all the time. I think that being able to talk openly about that with our kids and asking them for forgiveness when we mess up, when we've wronged them, it teaches them that as parents, we need Jesus too. And it allows for those conversations then to talk about grace and what Jesus did for us and what he did on the cross. And I think those are always really good moments
to share
the
gospel. How do you balance out the, like, yeah, you've messed up, and yet they're still a kid and they already messed up.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, maybe you've spoke with anger toward them and you were wrong in that, but they still did. You know, they were playing with the toilet water or whatever kids do. And there's still an amount. There's a reason that you were angry. There was a reason for. How do you balance that? Like, hey, I'm telling you I was wrong in this, and still kind of correct in
yeah.
that.
Yeah, it's just communicating it, right? It's acknowledging, like, I messed up, but it doesn't. It's both and. Like, but we still need to address what happened here, and that doesn't just go away. But I can admit where I was wrong in this area and talk about it. But, right, it's both.
Mm-hmm. It's still your job to parent. Mm-hmm. It's still our job to parent, even though we are clearly imperfect. It doesn't excuse what the kids might have done.
And it kind of sounded like you were referring a little to Deuteronomy 6 when you said, how do you...
that's a good one. I was
how
actually
do you implement
working
this
off of,
in your families?
Yeah, I was actually working off of Proverbs 22:6, where it says to train up your kids in the way of the Lord, or the way they should go. And even when they're old, they will not depart from it. So
okay.
That's what I was actually working off. But
okay.
Deuteronomy would work off this too.
My brain was thinking, because you said, how do you implement this? Yeah. And I was thinking, well, literally, when it says go along the road and wherever you are, you know, talk about this with your kids. And as we drive down the road, that's a really big one for us. Every morning on the drive to school, we pull out the verse of the day and we read that every morning and we talk about it. And, you know, it allows for discussion in that quick 5-minute drive. You know, we pray with our kids before they go into school. And, you know, there's a lot of times that those are just the natural throughout the day conversations. Bedtime, right? I mean, I know it's really tempting to just rush through bedtime because everybody's exhausted, but those, like,
are the dad job of it.
Actually, let me just give a shout out to my husband. He spends more time with bedtime with the kids than I actually do. So I will give him props for that.
They talk, and I like to hear what they have
to
say.
Well, that's just it, right? There's a lot of conversation that happens then, and if you just want to brush over that because you're too tired, you're missing out on some really good opportunities for conversation. They ask a lot of good questions at bedtime.
Yeah, and I think you touched on something that's so important, is we have natural routines to our day. So why not build in spiritual practices into those things? You're going to eat every day. You're going to drop your kids off at school. Of course, during the school year, you're going to put them to bed. I mean, just to build it into that, that is one piece of it. I do feel like we want to be a family whose rhythm is the faith community. So like last night, we had our Awana picnic. Our kids just finished a year of Zoom Awana. And that's pretty exciting that they completed their books and they did their thing. And I wouldn't change that. I would not.
Would you explain just a little bit what Awana is?
Yeah, I didn't know what Awana was either. I didn't grow up in the church, and it was all just new to me. Awana is a Bible based program where kids learn scripture, age appropriate scripture, and then recite it every week for credit, for prizes. And as they get older, they also have a study component that goes with it. When we're here in person, there's a lesson that the teachers give the kids. And actually on Zoom, they did it too. I mean, it was incredible. But the kids end, I mean, our 8-year-old ends the year with a whole booklet full of verses he has memorized and can just, it's incredible. And of course, as part of the study, they learn the meaning of the scriptures. But there's that piece of it. I would not have the capacity to teach at that level. So having that program to be a part of is so critical.
Yeah. So you're really saying that looking at the church as kind of augmenting what you're kind of already doing and really taking advantage of some of the programs and things that the church provides in order to help them to grow in their faith.
Right. And then thinking soberly about the fact that it's not the church's job, it's my job, it's our job as parents, and what can we do, like you were saying, day to day, teaching them. And I think there are seasons where we are rock stars, and then there are seasons where we stink at it. And I think being sober about that and saying, okay, this is not enough right now, where are we going to step it up, and just make it happen, not overthinking it, just do it. Because at the end of the day, it's always better than doing nothing. As far as pouring into them in, you know, in this area. And there are a million resources, probably too many. I think there's, you know, that can cause paralysis on its own, but the resources are there.
So one of the resources that Evangel provides for you guys is Right Now Media. And Right Now Media is the Christian Netflix Bible studies, but it also has a lot of good kids program. Do you guys ever use that in just helping the kids to kind of engage them, because we do live in a media culture, but to engage them with media that is pointing them toward Jesus?
Yeah, we love pulling that up with especially the 3- and 5-year-old. Instead of, you know, Curious George, pull up a little, what's in the Bible with Buck Denver? And it's, you know, it's really fun. And it teaches them some great things. Like, I have learned things like, dang, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. It helped me through seminary. So I was really appreciative that my wife was like, let's watch this.
Yeah, Buck Denver is created by Phil Visser, which is Veggie Tales. And so if you remember the Veggie Tale stuff, really great stuff on that. And if you're listening right now and you're like, what is Right Now Media, and you would like an account, we can actually get you one. Shoot us an email, travis@evangelup.org. We can get you an account and get you on there and looking through that, and it'll be free to you. But so you do use that. Jen, is there anything that you use on a regular basis that you've walked through that you really like on there?
We've done the books of the Bible studies, so it'll be 12 lessons, really short. I mean, we're talking 6-minute videos.
Kind of an age-appropriate attention span, yeah.
Yeah, with great questions at the end. So, you know,
and
there's a discussion
component. Do you
remember
what those are called?
No, I just remember the books we've done. Okay. Galatians, Ephesians, 1 John. No, I can't remember.
Yeah, I think that was another Phil Visser one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good.
What's in the Bible?
It might be What's in the Bible, and they just like, what's in the Bible? 1 Peter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I gotta give a shout out to both of you gals, because I see you ladies with our kids and with your kids, Jen, your and Levi's. The way that you guys bring it back to a heart issue. Like, I've noticed that when there's something that goes on, like, you guys do a fantastic job of, like, there's an issue, there's a situation, but you don't just hit the surface level with it. You bring it back to where your guys' heart's at with God. Like, where's the rebellion, where's the disobedience, and where that really fits into life. And Levi and I have talked about that ourselves, too, just how we see you guys do that well and how our families are really, like, coincide in that thing where if your kids are at our house, we don't feel bad yelling at them and saying those things, and the same for ours at your place. So we just appreciate that out of you guys.
So as moms, you have kids that, or we have all have kids that are kind of in that tween age. You have kids that are in the preteen age, and then you have, you know, kids that are maybe in that toddler age. But there's all stages of motherhood in there, or parenting in there. Maybe you can do one pro tip for, like, those parents who are, you know, they've got a kid who's 6 months old and you're like, what do we do with this kid? What would be your, like, pro tip for that really young family, young mom type of a thing, and helping to adjust the family to that new little creature being in.
All right, are we going practical?
Yeah, you can go practical. I think that people would probably prefer practical. Yeah.
Kids don't need baths every day.
Okay.
Like, yeah, you know, the boys, I get it. They get dirty. But I mean, little babies, that was one thing that it just will save
Unless
you.
Unless they're pukers.
So well, we're admitting we have dirty kids.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that's just one of those pieces that I think you get set in your mind that that's what you have to do every night with your baby. And I don't know, that was one piece that I let go of.
I'm a big sleep training preacher.
So give them a bath every night before bed.
To calm them. I think the sleep training piece was key to keeping the peace in our house. I mean, it was really hard doing it, but I think it kept the peace and it kind of actually dictated
kind of
the rhythm.
Kind of a necessity, right? Because of twins and then 13 months later, the little white-headed one coming.
Yeah. I think, you know, a friend from MOPS used to say, train them while they're kittens and not, you know, don't wait till they're cats. And I think sleep training is a piece of that. But I think pouring into them when they're little, I remember being so strict with the twins. They weren't even two. And we had a part of our yard that was dangerous to them, but we couldn't block it off. It was a garden. And remember we put up, what was it like?
Snow fence,
just as a visual. And I was really, really dogmatic about it because I thought you have to have a boundary. But anyway, they don't remember that. I was really firm with them, but they don't remember. And they did learn and they never got hurt on it. And I feel like doing it when they were kittens helped.
Yeah, because most of the kids are, you know, their whole personality is formed by five. And so you can kind of already see at two, three, or whatever, what their personality is like, if they're defiant or, you know, rebellious, or they're just like laid back, like whatever. And trying to help to shape and mold that is a part of that. And so I think that's what you're saying in that whole kitten idea is really start to shape and mold when they're young, because it's easier to take off some of those chips that aren't boulders yet in their lives. And so, no, that's good. And so on the sleep training one, is there any book that you would recommend that you can remember from way back when?
Well, I've actually sent this book to a lot of people, but I don't know if there's a newer version, but Dr. Weisbluth, Weissbluth, he had one specifically for twins and for singletons. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I loved his. It was a nice approach. It wasn't, you know, super dogmatic, but I liked it. It was good.
Let's jump just to the next stage. Let's go like 5 through 8. That's kind of a good chunk. What would be kind of the next pro tip that you would give for those parents out there in that age group?
One thing that comes to mind is we did this with our older two and kind of forgot to do it with our younger two is at mealtime, we always gave them their meals in courses. Like, nope, this is your broccoli. And then once that was gone, you might get your mac and cheese. And
might get it.
if I finish your broccoli, right. You know?
Yep.
Well, no, with the younger two pickier eaters, I'm like, we didn't do that. We forgot. We forgot to withhold the mac and cheese before the broccoli. So, but that worked great. The older ones learned really well.
Mm-hmm. That's good. They are really good. They're so good about their veggies.
I will say one thing that also comes to mind is what you're talking about, teaching them young with the sleep training. It's the same. By the time they're 3, 4, 5, I mean, there's so much they can do. You teach them young. Like my kids at 2 years old were dressing themselves and they can start to get themselves breakfast. I mean, you can teach them these things. You don't have to think that you have to do everything. They learn quickly and you can teach them young.
Mm-hmm. And then I think you end up enjoying them more, too, because of that.
Well, it's like, I love the idea of a family team. Like, you do all these things together. Mm-hmm. You don't, it's not mom does all this and the kids go and play, which sometimes we love. Sometimes we do admit we let them play because they're playing so well.
Mm-hmm.
But when you can do all those things together, they can help out with the laundry and the dishes and the meal cooking. And, you know, it's like.
One of the things that I remember back in those days is, you know, I was at work quite a bit and we still needed groceries and we still needed, like, we were going through diapers in a mass quantities. But you would take all the kids to the store, and four kids don't actually fit into a grocery cart. Well, they might, but you can't get groceries then. And so what did you do, like, in the parking lot and just to help them to be able to navigate some of those things?
Well, I mean, in the store, the two older kids had to hold onto the cart. And to this day, I'll say, you guys, you're 11. Sorry if I don't want to embarrass them, but it's like, I trust you now. You don't have to hang onto the cart. They're just so, it's such a habit. But they would hang on to the side of the cart. And then the little, you know, I'd wear one, I'd put one on the cart, have two on the side of the cart in the parking lot. I was obviously really strict about them obeying. I've told the story before that I had to kind of, with one of our kids, he was really tripping up the family with his high needs that were just his, him being particular. So I had to almost set him up one time where we, you know, he knew that if he obeyed, he could do something pretty amazing. And I knew he probably wouldn't obey. So it kind of felt like a setup, but he didn't do the thing correctly. He didn't get to do the fun thing. I hate to say this. The other kids did get to go do the fun thing. And I'm telling you, it was the last day he ever had ever pitched a fit. And it, you know, withholding that special thing, as painful as it was for me as a mom to watch that happen. I had four kids, 3 years old and under. I could not have a rogue child. And so he brought it in, and then I knew I could trust him. So I think that was all part of it.
Yeah, I think that there is something about just setting those boundaries and helping them to kind of navigate that. And that's part of that training, really following through. I think that's what I hear in that story is that you followed through with what the threat was. Like, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. And it was, it actually happened, and it actually was part of that training. Well, you know, we are out of time, and I'm sure that our listeners would love for you guys to stay on and maybe even be the new host. We don't even know. But we
then
just
we need a new name.
Yeah. Well, we just appreciate you guys, both of us. Appreciate our wives. We think they're awesome. They're great moms. And if you have any questions or insights or questions for them, you can email travis@evangelup.org.
Yeah. And if you want to catch up with any of the other previous podcasts that we've had or any of the other episodes, you can find us on Evangel Houghton Podcast on Apple Podcast or Google Play. And you can just look for the latest Pearls and Swines episodes there. But that's all we got for you. Hope you guys had a happy Mother's Day, and hope you enjoyed what we had for you this week. Thanks.